Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What's up, guys? Today's date is Sunday, March 10th. I'm Steven Masso, and as always, you are listening to Via the Source. Now, there's a bunch of news going around the NFL. Antonio Brown, Olivier Vernon, Carlos Hyde, and then there's a few minor notes happening with the Miami Dolphins, which will be discussed towards the back end of this episode. But right now, the major story is Antonio Brown, former Steelers receiver, will be traded to the Oakland Raiders for a third-round pick and for a fifth-round pick. His contract will also be adjusted, making him the highest-paid wide receiver in the entire NFL. Now, before we go into all the drama about what happened with the Buffalo Bills and all that, we have to discuss how this looks for both sides. Basically, the Steelers had no option at this point. There was no recovering what Antonio Brown did to that relationship between him and the Steelers organization. There was just no going back. The things he said about Ben Roethlisberger, the things he said about Tomlin, the ownership, there was no going back. It was done. Now, the Steelers, of course, are losing a tremendous talent. They have had tremendous upside from Juju Smith-Schuster, which is good for them. It will lessen the blow of losing one of the top, if not the top receiver in the NFL. But Antonio Brown is a guy who is being double covered a lot. And mind you, Antonio Brown is not a big guy, under 6 feet. He is not a Mike Evans, Julio Jones guy, but he is having to be double covered. That opened it up for guys like Juju Smith-Schuster to succeed. It also helped Ben Roethlisberger look a lot better. So that there's no doubt that there will be less productivity from a receiver standpoint in the Steelers. They're also losing Le'Veon Bell, who didn't play last year. They got good production out of James Conner, but that is just two major assets who will not be a part of the Steelers. You combine that with an aging Ben Roethlisberger. You know, it's a ticking time bomb waiting to happen for this Steelers offense. They have been good for so long, but it can only be maintained with an aging Ben Roethlisberger for so long, and that time may be coming sooner rather than later. Now, we look at it from the other side of the deal for the Oakland Raiders, Las Vegas Raiders, whatever you want to call them. This is a tremendous move. People gave them flack for trading Amari Cooper. They recognized where their organization was. After they traded Khalil Mack, they were basically saying, hey, we know we cannot win right now. We will plan to the future. You know what? They got a first-round pick out of that. That deal is looking very good right about now. The Khalil Mack one's still kind of sketchy, but the first-round pick in exchange for Amari Cooper, it's not looking too bad, especially when you consider that he had a big payday coming. Now, on top of that, they trade away a third and a fifth, and they get Antonio Brown, the best receiver, or at least one of the top three in the NFL. Now, he is getting up there in age, I will say, but this is a team that was desperately in need of some life at the receiver position. They had Jordy Nelson, who I was a massive fan of. During his prime, he was incredible, but he is a shell of his former self. That's how he looked last year. Their lead receiver was Jared Cook, the tight end. And that was rather shocking because Jared Cook has never really been that exceptional either. So it was just a team that was really lacking talent at any type of receiver position. So they bring in Antonio Brown. There is no doubt that's at least going to help with the publicity and the marketing of this new franchise to a new market. But it will greatly assist them from a receiving standpoint, especially if they're going to be betting on Derek Carr being their long-term quarterback. Now, there was some drama happening with this trade. It was being announced beforehand that Antonio Brown was going to be traded to the Buffalo Bills, which scared me as well as many other Dolphin fans. That is not what you want to hear. The Dolphins were a team that struggled specifically against teams that had elite receivers. Xavier Howard, it seemed like, would do a good job shutting down that elite talent on the other side of the ball for the first half, but then eventually it was just too much. AJ Green had a good day. DeAndre Hopkins had a great day. T.Y. Hilton had a good day. The list goes on and on. It just seems like when there was an elite talent, it was too much for Xavier Howard to completely put the clamps on him. So when I originally heard that news, I was mortified. It was something you don't want to see Antonio Brown twice a year, especially if you're not going to extend Xavier Howard. So that was my first initial instinct. Extend Xavier Howard, if he's going to be with the Buffalo Bills. I thought it was a great move for the Buffalo Bills to do that. Get Josh Allen some help. Eventually it fell out. Apparently Antonio Brown apparently played a large role in this deal falling out. He did not want to be a member of the Buffalo Bills, allegedly. Now, I put my tinfoil hat on, you know, I start questioning things. I do think it is kind of sketchy how this story, the Buffalo Bills trade, one that Adam Schefter reported later to be so far from happening, that's what he said afterwards, it's a little sketchy how that news story dropped almost instantly when David Irving, the defensive end for the Dallas Cowboys, quit. He retired from football live on Instagram Live while he was doing marijuana. He was smoking on an Instagram Live, and he was basically bashing the entire NFL for saying that they were pumping these players full of pharmaceutical drugs and painkillers and stuff like that. So I thought it was kind of sketchy that he does that, and then this fake story starts getting reported about Antonio Brown becoming a member of the Buffalo Bills. It just sounded, you know, kind of a little odd, the timing of it all. But that is just me with my conspiracy theory for the day. That's just how it looked to me. It was just kind of odd, you know, piecing them together and how one story just got completely buried by another main headline. Now we move on to the next story, and is that Carlos Hyde will become a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, he is coming from the Jacksonville Jaguars. He also played with the Cleveland Browns last season. He was leading the league in carries while a member of the Cleveland Browns, and he got traded to the Jaguars when the whole Leonard Fournette injury stuff started happening. Now, him going to the Chiefs, I see this almost identically to why he went to the Jaguars. I think it's an insurance move that, if Fournette didn't get healthy, then at least they have Carlos Hyde. Well, I think if Damian Williams, if something were to happen to him, if he indeed can't carry a load for a whole season, having a decent change of pace back like Carlos Hyde is something that is beneficial to have. Carlos Hyde, to me, is almost exclusively a running back. He is not a guy you put there on third downs. He is not a guy who is a dual threat. I think Damian Williams is secretly very low-key tremendous as a third down back. I think he is very versatile, the tools he brings to the table. I am very hyped. Of course, Damian Williams is a former member of the Dolphins. It is great to see him get this opportunity. It's something that he flashed at times with Miami, but there were just so many talented running backs in the Dolphins arsenal at the time. He never really got an opportunity to shine. Jay Ajayi kind of exploded when Damian Williams had the opportunity. So I do think it will still be a Damian Williams show in Kansas City, but at least they have insurance in a guy like Carlos Hyde, a guy who is more than capable of carrying a load. So I think that is a great move for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, Eric Weddle, the former Baltimore Raven, a guy who is in the Pro Bowl almost every single season for the Baltimore Ravens at the safety position, will be joining the Los Angeles Rams. And that's something that you can't, you know, hate on. That's something that you're almost happy to see happen. At least Eric Weddle will get to an opportunity to be close to getting a Super Bowl ring. Yes, that will make the Los Angeles Rams even more of a super team than they already are. Getting a talent like that, they have Aqib Talib, they have Marcus Peters, their defense is stacked. But Eric Weddle is just the definition of a football player. He is the epitome of what you want when you see someone play football how it's supposed to be played. So it is good to see him get an opportunity to go chase a ring. It's something that I'm happy to see, and I've never really followed him specifically, but it's just something that you have to kind of applaud and hope that it turns out well for him. Now, we move on to some news about the Miami Dolphins. First of all, Danny Amendola was cut. It is something that was very predictable. It shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody. He was going to be a huge cap hit for the Dolphins, and he wasn't really reciprocating that kind of value for the team. He was someone that was, it seemed like he was primarily brought in to teach some of the younger guys to kind of instill this culture that Miami wanted to build with Gase. Well, that didn't all pan out, so he was cut. He was also getting up there in age. I wouldn't be shocked to see him retire. Now, again, this comes at a time when a lot of the Dolphins coaching staff is former Patriots coaching staff, so I'm sure they would love to have a guy like Danny Amendola, but he was just such a financial bad decision for the Dolphins to keep around that this was basically the only option to do. I think Albert Wilson, when he was getting more of the ball than Danny Amendola, it was a much more thriving offense. I think Albert Wilson is vastly more talented at this point in their careers. He is more electric. He brings more to the table. And I think Danny Amendola leading the team in receiving was just kind of because no one else was there. Devontae Parker was hurt. Kenny Stills was just hurt at times, and then he just wasn't getting the ball. The offense was inefficient. I don't think Danny Amendola leading the team in receiving is something to put too much emphasis on when you look at this cut. Now, that is one former Patriot getting cut, but the Dolphins also signed a former Patriots tight end, Dwayne Allen. His best careers came as a member of the Indianapolis Colts. Now, with the Indianapolis Colts, you have to remember Andrew Luck is a guy that will absolutely feed his tight ends, and that's when Dwayne Allen's best years came. You look at Jack Doyle, he has had a tremendous career with the help of Andrew Luck. You look at Eric Ebron last year, a guy who was hated by the entire city of Detroit for being such a bust. He goes over and he joins Andrew Luck, and he is a Pro Bowl tight end. So that is just kind of the stuff to think about when you look at Dwayne Allen. His best years were with the Indianapolis Colts. He went to the Patriots. He didn't really do much aside from blocking, and that is kind of the role that I am expecting to see from him joining the Miami Dolphins. Again, he is a guy that he hasn't had many receiving yards in his entire career. In his past six seasons, he had less receiving yards than George Kittle had last year. George Kittle is a tight end for the 49ers. So don't expect Dwayne Allen to come in here and have some huge role as a receiving tight end. He is coming in, I think, primarily just as a blocking tight end. I really think the Dolphins right now are starting to accept that maybe Gesicki's blocking will not come. Maybe it's just something that you kind of have to live with. So they're going to bring in a guy who can block and at least diversify the position a little bit. This could be used to complement what Gesicki is bad at. And then, you know, Gesicki will help in the receiving department if that pans out. Now, I see a lot of people making some arguments that this is showing that the Dolphins made a mistake drafting Gesicki, and I wouldn't go as far to say that. One, because rookie tight ends succeeding just straight off the bat, it doesn't happen. It hardly ever happens. So I am not going to go out there and judge. And remember, I am a guy who was on board the Dallas Goedert train. I wanted Dallas Goedert more than anybody. So I would still say that I would have preferred they go with Dallas Goedert. I think he has more upside. He looks like a Travis Kelce-esque kind of. I liked him a lot more than when I saw from Gesicki. But I still also have to recognize that it is still entirely too early to just ditch Mike Gesicki at this point. You know, I will say that I wanted the other guy, but it is still entirely too early to just bail on him. So I wouldn't look at this Dwayne Allen signing as, oh, we messed up on Mike Gesicki. I think it's more of, oh, Mike Gesicki can't block, so we're bringing in a guy who we know can block and who knows the system at least somewhat, that it can just plug in and he'll be all right. Now, I see also people making the argument, hey, they signed Dwayne Allen, he's a veteran, that must mean they're not tanking. No, I mean, Dwayne Allen's not a game changer at all. He is not a guy that they brought in and it's like, wow, this is our savior. This is the guy we needed to help this offense become a thriving offense. No, the team can still very well be tanking despite signing Dwayne Allen. I wouldn't look at that as, hey, they went out and got this guy. They're in a win now mind state. I wouldn't say that. This is still Dwayne Allen at the end of the day. He is not some elite talent tight end. He is just someone who can fill this spot very well. And I'm sure he can provide good knowledge to some of the younger players about how to run this system. So we will have to see how that pans out. So that is one question I have for the listeners of this podcast. Do you like the Dwayne Allen signing? Do you think it was pointless? I see a lot of people saying that on Twitter. That's kind of a pointless move. What do you think about the Dwayne Allen signing? What do you think about Antonio Brown becoming a member of the Oakland / Las Vegas Raiders? How do you think that is going to pan out? And then is this the end of the Steelers? Because the Steelers offense, they have been great for years. They have not fallen apart. They're now starting to lose a lot of their stars, and Ben Roethlisberger is getting up there in age. Is this the end of the Pittsburgh Steelers offensive powerhouse? Let me know. As always, you can follow me on Twitter. That is at Shady Steven. You can follow the podcast. That is at Via the Source. And that's how I'm going to wrap it up, guys. It was a pleasure as always. Until next time, though, I'm Steve Amasso, and this was Via the Source.